Good morning, Don Brown.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me, and thanks for helping us bring attention to this great story that somehow slipped through the cracks of history until now. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
Well, what happened on the morning of August 14, 1945?
August 14, 1945, on a small windswept island called Iwo Jima, thousands of miles from home, a group of American fighter pilots gathered for their instructions that day from their squadron leaders. 5 days had passed since a B-29 called Boxcar had dropped a second atomic bomb on Nagasaki, and there was hope that the Japanese would surrender. And President Truman basically gave them a day to surrender, but they did not surrender. And so President Truman ordered the aerial prosecution of the war to resume, with plans leading up to what was known as Operation Downfall, which would have been the invasion of Japan, which would have been an unbelievable catastrophe. So these young pilots, Jerry Yellen, who is the subject of the book and who was a captain in the Army Air Force, and his wingman, 19-year-old Phil Schlomberg, Jerry was 21, Phil was 19, received their orders to fly 4 hours to Tokyo to attack at a military airfield just north of Tokyo to carry out that mission, and then to return, if they were able to return, by dodging the anti-aircraft fire. That morning, Phil Schlomberg, the younger of the two, had a premonition that he wasn't going to make it. Jerry knew that premonition, and when he found that when pilots had it, generally that was true. And both Jerry and Phil had flown multiple missions to Japan already and skipped death. So Jerry tried to get the squadron commander to substitute Phil out for another pilot, but Phil would not have it. So they fly 4 hours. Just before 12 noon, both of the pilots discover the target. They hone in on it, and they go in for a dive, execute a strafing mission against this military airfield successfully. Then they pull up sharply, banking straight up into the clouds. When Jerry Yellen, Captain Yellen, came out of the clouds, Phil Schlomberg was gone, presumably shot down by anti-aircraft fire. And Lieutenant Phil Schlomberg became the final combat death of the war. Phil Schlomberg, by the way, is the great uncle of the actress Scarlett Johansson, as it turns out. Jerry then flew back to Iwo Jima, landed 4 hours later, and then found out that the war had ended just as they were executing the mission. So the book is about that great final mission, and it's also about all the fighter pilots who served in the last 6 months of the air war against Japan from Iwo Jima. So we're very excited about it, and we're grateful. We're grateful to you today for helping us get the message out. We're opening this week with a book that's being released this week.
The Last Fighter Pilot, the true story of the final combat mission of World War II. The last casualty was Lieutenant Phil Schlomberg. People forget how young these people were. He was 19 years old, and he'd already had several missions prior to this one.
He had, and the amazing thing about Phil Schlomberg, he did not even have a driver's license. He was flying a P-51, the most advanced fighter aircraft in the world, and could not even drive a car, at least didn't have a license to drive a car. Schlomberg also was a valedictorian of his class, Abraham Lincoln High School in Brooklyn, New York, the youngest of 11 kids. He scored so high on the Army entrance exam, they would have sent him anywhere. He could have done anything he wanted. He wanted to fly airplanes, and he would have texted the Japanese, and he gave his life for his country. Just a kid, really, at 19, but really a man, considering the hell that these guys had to go through. And so I'm hoping that this book also will bring honor to him as well as our last combat death of the war.
How did this affect Captain Yellen through the years?
Captain Yellen suffered from post-traumatic stress. Of course, it wasn't called that then. But he saw the death of about 16 of his fellow flyers, and many of those deaths came in rapid succession in June, July, and even August before the war ended. And it took an effect on him, took a toll. Back in the day, they called it battle fatigue. In World War One, they called it, the thousand-yard stare. World War Two, they called it battle fatigue. Now we know it's post-traumatic stress, but Jerry suffered. But to his credit, he has now recovered and speaks to many young active duty guys and guys who had just gotten out from Afghanistan and Iraq who were suffering from PTSD, and has made his part of his life story and his life's journey to help bring comfort to those guys. So he's been a true warrior even beyond the last great mission that he flew in serving our country.
He survived 72 years since that mission, and it is remarkable because by most earthly accounts, he should have died that day.
Sure. It's interesting. People ask, what motivated you to write this book? Well, in the spring of 2015, I saw a YouTube video shot on Iwo Jima in March of 2015. This was the 70th anniversary of the Marines' Great Invasion, the greatest Marine invasion in history, 80,000 Marines against 22,000 Japanese who were burrowed in that island. You've seen the great photo by Joe Rosenthal, the flag being raised. So we're coming on the 70th anniversary, and the U.S. military and the Japanese government, now our allies, invited veterans back from the war. Of course, very few could return. It reminded me of some of the clips I'd seen of the Battle of Gettysburg 70 years later when Franklin Roosevelt dedicated the Eternal Peace Monument. Only a very few were able to return. Jerry came and was interviewed. He was the only fighter pilot able to return, and he began to tell the stories of the very long-range missions they had flown, of the men that he had lost. He said that he had come to stand for those who were lost that day, lost during the war, and who had passed away since then. He'd come to represent them. And when I found out that he'd flown a final mission, and he told the story of Phil Schlumberger, a young 19-year-old Jewish kid. Jerry was Jewish also. Sort of ironic, I feel, that two Jewish young fighter pilots ended a war where there had been such great persecution of Jews in Germany. But he had taken Schlumberger under his wing. He was like a little brother to him. And to have lost Phil on the last mission, I knew I had to write the book. And Jerry said, he closed by saying, the greatest honor of my life is to serve my country. And I said, look, if I get a chance to write this book, I had about 12 books under my belt already, but if I get a chance to write it, I've got to do it. We have to elevate this story to bring honor to both Phil and Jerry, but also to bring honor to the fighter pilots who flew off Iwo Jima, and to bring attention to that final great last mission of the war. I think it serves our country's historical interest to do that, and so that's how it all came about.
Considering that this mission was not necessary, as it turned out, the war was over, Captain Yellen did what any good soldier would do. He followed orders, accepted the mission with great peril in his wake, and right. Lieutenant Schlumberger died in the mission. This, as you noted, he had what might be called PTSD today, but was battle fatigue in those days, but he had to live with this the rest of his life. That had to be a sobering reality, that this was a mission that was one that, if it were today, it would not have happened.
It may very well not have happened, but the interesting thing about it, when Schlumberger and Yellen had met with their squadron commander, Major Jim Teft, that morning to get their orders, unbeknownst to anyone, there was a huge fight going on inside Japan on whether to surrender. I mean, half the military did not want to surrender, and half did. As a matter of fact, about the time these guys were lifting off with Iwo Jima to chart a course to the north, there was actually a coup attempt in the Emperor's palace that morning, because you had younger and mid-range officers, trying to stop the surrender. And so the reason it had been 5 days since Nagasaki is because of this internal fight that was going on. And thank God cooler heads prevailed. But if we had to invade Japan, we lost 400,000 men in World War II, but the battle estimates came in at about another 100,000 deaths that it would have cost us to have invaded the Japanese homeland. So it was effectively over in one sense, the war was. But on the other hand, we came pretty close because of the opposition faction, the strong opposition faction of the Japanese military, of having to fight on. So by the grace of God, they did surrender, and I'm so grateful that Jerry was able to make it home.
Don, Captain Yellen certainly is a part of the greatest generation, and he embodies all the great qualities of his comrades of that time.
He does, and continues to do that, and the thing that amazes me the most, he is self-deprecating, he's humble, he stands for the men with whom he served. His mission is only to bring them honor. He isn't in it for bringing honor to himself. He's in it for the men with whom he served, and they just don't make them like that anymore. They were indeed our greatest generation.
The book is The Last Fighter Pilot, The True Story of the Final Combat Mission of World War II. Best-selling author Don Brown has done it again, and we thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure, Don.
Jim, thank you so much for having me, and hope things are well. Have a great week, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.